Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing with chickens. Episode 6, Death and Chocolate. This is Erica. You can always get in touch with me through lickingthebowl.com. And you know what we say, licking the bowl. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's metaphorical. Always it's delicious. Episode 6. When we talk about death, we have to start at the beginning of the story. And the beginning of this story is January 1st, 2009. But actually, it begins 22 years before that. Bill and I met at San Francisco State when he was a teacher of mine in a required public speaking class. He was a divorcing 36-year-old hippie with two teenagers, a scruffy beard, and a bankruptcy. I was a performance arts student, way too wild, on the 9-year plan to getting my BA in art, interdisciplinary studies in creative art, that is. So we traveled for a year together in Asia before we got married and had a daughter, Annie, and settled down in Oakland, California. Bill taught at UC Berkeley and I wrote, and eventually I began teaching at UC Berkeley too. And then Bill got a fascinating 3-year gig advising the president of Madagascar, and things began to change. First slowly, and then fast. We were together for 22 years. And then, completely unexpectedly, he died. In Madagascar, on a rusty cot, in an understaffed clinic, in the most remote cloud forest in the world, with 16-year-old Annie and I standing helplessly by. In the moments after he died, somebody opened sugar packets and handed them to me and Annie to keep us from passing out. Sugar. The crystals, gritty in the tropical heat, melted on my tongue and kept me afloat in the small plane back to the city, through the night and day that followed, until we escaped Madagascar and Bill's body in tow, flew first class home, met at every stop by a Malagasy delegation. In the days immediately after Bill died, I couldn't eat and I could only drink Coke, and I never drink Coke. 3 days after he died, New Year's Day, 2009, Annie and I walked back into our modest house in Oakland. Over 100 people greeted us, friends, colleagues, family. Folding tables were set up over the couch and chairs, and every surface was heaped high with platters of food. Food cooked from recipes I'd used for years, recipes I'd gleaned and created. They'd cooked my foods to comfort me. I couldn't eat. For the next week, I lived on slices of leftover ham and caffeine and sugar. By the third week, I'd branched out, but I still craved high fat, high sugar, high salt. That first few months, I boiled the kettle dry. I burned the pots and pans. My friends and family fed us. Twice a week, the doorbell would ring and a full meal, usually home-cooked, would arrive. Funeral food kept us from floating off the planet. I lived friend to friend to friend, passed hand to hand like a bucket brigade, and each friend brought food. I regained my appetite, but along with a strange amnesia about the months before and after Bill's death, I'd forgotten completely how to cook. I now understand the tradition of bringing people food when there's a death in the family, because the bereaved can no longer feed themselves. I could thaw, I could put fork to mouth, but cooking, that act of staying alive and keeping my daughter fed as well? No, those skills disappeared so completely that I forgot for many months how to do anything. Loading the dishwasher was dubious. Friends came over for dinner and I burned the soup. How do you burn a broth-based vegetable soup? It took a very long time before I was able to cook again. Bill died when I was 48, and he was just a few months before turning 60. 2 weeks after Bill's funeral, the house stinking from dozens of vases of dying flowers, a friend sent me a 2-pound box of C's dark chocolates. It may sound strange, sending chocolates to a new widow. Congratulatory? Romantic? And yet it was the best thing ever. In those first months of grief, so hard that at night I had to hold onto the bed for fear the grief would rock me off and I would drown, chocolate helped. So did black coffee, Courvoisier, sleep meds. They fueled me through forms and notaries and phone calls, refinancing the house, paying house insurance, car insurance. I removed Bill's name from all the bank accounts, wincing as I erased him. I'm so sorry, honey. I filed for Social Security for our daughter, sold Bill's car, figured out finances and how to live as a suddenly single woman raising a teenage child on my own. It took a long time to learn to cook again, and so often I was angry. Why hadn't I written down Bill's recipe for tomatillo chicken? And then I found it. I had written it down. So many of my memories from our lives together as a couple and as a family were wrapped around food and embedded in the recipes. 3 weeks after he died, I thawed out a package of frozen stuffed peppers Bill had made. So delicious. So sad. This is Erica, and you are listening to the Death and Chocolate episode, Licking the Bowl, episode 6. Why, yes, I currently am eating chocolate, Lindt 85% chocolate, right now. Hey, this isn't easy stuff, you know. Bill was a self-professed chocoholic. He kept caches of candy hidden around the house. He stole Christmas candy from his kids, and he always hit the drugstores the day after Halloween for sales of bite-sized candy bars. I'd kiss him, and I'd smell chocolate on his breath. It's January 2009. We are burying Bill. He's late for his own funeral. The hearse driver has gotten lost on the way to the cemetery. We all speak and place our offerings on the coffin. I've brought small Thai orchids, our flower. His old rock and roll friends pour out a flask. Gonna miss you, man. My dad has bought him one last Jerry Garcia tie. My mother places some garlic and sprigs of homegrown oregano near Bill's head. Then she carefully seasons the coffin with lemon thyme. Annie completely loses her shit. She is laughing so hard, but since it's completely and utterly inappropriate for her to laugh, she pretends she's crying and buries her face in her hands. They lower the coffin down. And before we take turns shoveling earth onto his coffin, We toss Hershey's Kisses, Junior Mints, and Tootsie Rolls into his grave. Our loved ones never leave us. We carry our dead with us. We continue the conversations. We still eat together. Hey, Bill, this one's for you. So here's a recipe for fudge pie, the deepest, richest pie you can imagine. It's gooey, it's soft, it's very, very dark. For this recipe, you need unsweetened chocolate wafers. You're going to need 1¾ cups of these wafers. Guittard makes these. I usually used to get them at Berkeley Bowl, but if you search the internet, you can actually order them. And that's what I would do if I was going to make this again soon. 3 cubes of butter, so that's 1½ cups of butter. 5 eggs, 1½ cups sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, 1 unbaked single crust pie shell, which you can either make yourself, oh yeah, yummy, or you can buy. Preheat the oven to 350. Mix the chocolate and the butter in a double boiler until it's melted. Combine the eggs, sugar, and vanilla. Then combine this egg mixture with the chocolate mixture. And then put it into the pie. Bake it in the unbaked pie shell for about an hour until it forms a top hat. Serve this with whipped cream. Oh yeah, so good. So all of the recipes on this podcast, Licking the Bowl, are now available at lickingthebowl.com. So if you didn't catch anything, or if you want it written down, go there, and you can get the exact recipe. Yeah, lickingthebowl.com. And now, just a little update on chickens. So Hillary is laying, and her eggs are amazing. Everybody else is soon to be laying, but they're not laying yet. Luke the rooster is a problem. He's mounting the hens a lot. I know, that's what roosters do, and he's kind of a jerk, and he crows all the time. I am looking for a home for him. I've put out ads, but even though he has beautiful plumage, he's not an ideal rooster for adoption because he has a crooked tail. And Fred has a little problem with vent gleet. Yeah, don't Google it. It's okay. I'm taking care of her. Freddie's gonna be just fine. Okay, we lived through Death and Chocolate, Episode 6. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. Our beautiful website is created by Sale White. Yes, that Sale, Episode 3 Sale. You can find us at lickingthebowl.com and on Instagram at lickingthebowl. Twitter is lickingbowl. Facebook, Bear Clover Productions. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby.